Where is the music industry? A question which you or me may answer as simply as everywhere. Or a question David Murphy, the author of Where Does the World Come From, may answer as the United States, or Britain, as they dominate contemporary international rock and pop. Or even in the eyes of Ben DiBellili musicians, who we will explore later on, they see Europe a mecca for success in music. This podcast aims to start a conversation looking at real people's opinions of where the music industry is and dissect their ideas to further explore themes of globalisation, musical identity and different cultures. Whenever discussing the location of something, physical or as theoretical as the music industry, globalisation is a natural place to start as it's a key term you cannot escape. This was evident in the vox pops I collected with the transition of what may be termed as world music into westernised culture, a very clear theme. Before we delve deeper into the idea of globalisation, Emily, aged 17, discusses her opinion in our first vox pop.
I think, like, to be asked where the music industry is such a tricky question because it's just global now. Like, before, if you wanted to listen to genres from different parts of the world, like, you'd have to research them and listen to them yourself. It's just, like, normal to hear about them now, though. Like, I've got friends at college who like K-pop, and I saw a K-pop band on Graham Norton last week, and, like, that's primetime TV, so that's pretty cool. And, like, they're making it into the charts, and there's, like, a big hype on social media about K-pop, so it's really, like, it's really spreading around the world. And I think that, like, pop music at the moment's taking inspiration from, like, lots of different cultures. Like, big artists like Demi Lovato and Justin Bieber are putting out Latin music, and Raksu and Rudimental have really, like, African drum sounds in their music. But I don't know if it's just, like, a novelty, though, because these artists don't originate from these cultures. But I would hope that it would give, like, smaller artists from these countries a chance to be successful, but, like, I don't know if it would.
There were some interesting ideas and examples brought up by Emily, as already mentioned, the theme of globalisation being the basis of her thoughts. What is particularly interesting is how she opens, stating that in the past you would have to delve into the world of music yourself and research if you were interested in listening to music from around the world or other cultures, whereas now it is beginning to seep into our everyday. This is a thought that links to in David Murphy's Where Does the World Come From chapter in the book Music, National Identity and the Politics of Location, where he states that Western pop music is regarded as increasingly commercial, radically different to Afropop or other world music. Perhaps this is accounting for what was a strict divide and isolation from Westernised successes. However, Emily highlights that she has noticed a change in this divide, making such world music more commercial. Audiences are now able to access music from other cultures more readily as they begin to be incorporated into Western culture. A recent contextual example being the popular British chat show Graham Norton, which featured K-pop band BTS as a guest in its more recent episode. This collaboration has come from what Emily coins as a social media hype, a millennial phenomenon which has enabled the quick spread and virality of virtually anything from around the world, producing a demand for different cultures here in the UK and the USA. I think this is such an interesting way to look at how we recognise the music industry in terms of location, because there is no physicality of location to music on social media. It's almost as if it exists in a different dimension, because if your music is released on social media, be it virally or amateuristic, it's suddenly worldwide. To swiftly move on to a different way of thinking, the more recent globalisation of world music may also be explained by the term hybridity. To break the term down in its simplest form, it is the crossover of two separate things, in this case, music cultures. We are now combining our westernised music to incorporate different music genres, just as we previously mentioned is being done to culture. This is something else referenced in Emily's Vox Pop, where she mentions key names in our current industry, Justin Bieber and Demi Lovato. These two artists are just two of many to combine stereotypical commercial pop with Latino features or influences, both of which have collaborated with Luis Fonso. Demi Lovato has even released her own music in Spanish. However, we cannot discuss other cultures being westernised, in particular such North American artists taking on other identities, without posing the problem of authenticity. Another theme that is referenced to by David Murphy, demonstrating a very clear link between music ecology, theory and current contexts. An example discussed at length in Murphy's chapter is Yusu Endor, a Senegalese pop star whose music bears little relation to the music widely available in Africa, as quoted in the chapter. While his chapter talks more about the commercialisation of world music, as I have previously mentioned, it also got me thinking whether there may be two sides to the authenticity debate. Perhaps we as the Western culture aren't the ones imposing our culture that the debate may immediately point towards, but these cultures are actually beginning to adhere to Western norms simply by evolution and societal change. My second Vox Pop has took a different analytical view to the questioning task. Richard, who's aged 53, discussed how social factors may have shifted the where is the music industry. This is interesting as he's coming from a different upbringing to Emily, who's very much a millennial. Take a listen to what he has to say.
Well, I think for one thing, over the last sort of 20, 30 years, there's been a massive shift in the location of music industry. It can be anywhere now. It doesn't have to be successful because you've got YouTube and everything else, so people can just produce music from, you know, sounds all around the world. Social attitudes as well, with race, that many years ago when I was young, it would be considered a factor, but not so much now. So you hear music from other cultures and you can enjoy it and not be judged or anything. And yeah, previous generations might not have done that. And travel, migration is a thing. So all cultures travelling, there's a hell of a lot more travel now. So you pick up little bits of other cultures' music and it can be integrated into any genre of music. And yeah, it's a good thing. Music industry is now able to give music from around the world a platform, and I'm open to hearing any of it.
At the beginning of his Vox Pop, Richard references how there is now wider accessibility to producing, which is allowing more cultures to express their identities through music. An example of this is the GOM movement in South Africa. It's a club-style deep house music produced to combine traditional African dance with drum beats and Zulu chants. In an article for Red Bull Music Academy, Vivian Host, who's a radio producer and music writer, discusses how GOM is getting more exposure in the Western culture. She writes, "The music is at an interesting place right now, with more pop-orientated hits finally starting to heat up the South African charts, while moodier, more underground strains of GOM are thrilling DJs in the UK, Europe and North America. YouTube gives a window into the culture as well, allowing the world to see amateur benga dance videos and access new sounds through curated channels like Drum Movement SA and Bring Back Our GOM." This quote demonstrates methods to which the popularity of world music is expanding around the world and can link to the commercialisation factor we've previously discussed, as Western DJs are picking up on the movement. Migration is another social factor picked up on by Richard and follows on from our previous thoughts. We have just referenced how the GOM movement is just one example of world music expanding across Europe. And this can also be a result of migration, as GOM artists build a following in the townships and then migrate to spread their music and build their career. Citizen Boy is a popular GOM DJ and producer from Durban, where the movement began. His music, however, is now on SoundCloud. He's joined a crew called Mafia Boys, and now his career is stable and successful enough for him to travel. More recently, he's travelled across Europe and travelled to Russia to introduce the sound of Durban to the towns. On the other end of the spectrum to GOM, which is a fast-paced movement involving lots of technical elements such as sound engineering, a club scene and even drug taking to make it work, Staff Bender Bilili is another example of how migration can give exposure to world music. In the words of Richard, through bringing back snippets into our society. Ultimately, this idea revolves around the 2010 documentary following the Congo street musicians and their ambitions to make music and get to Europe. It's very different to the GOM movement in the fact that musicians are in extreme poverty and they rely on their homemade instruments and rehearse in their local zoo with only rhythm and dreams to carry them. The point that I'm leading to is, would I know about Bender Bilili without the filmmakers researching, travelling and producing this documentary? And would you know it without the word of mouth and the offload of information from me, the audience and academics teaching about Bender Bilili? The answer is no. To touch another idea from Richard's Vox Pop, the change in society towards racism has allowed this spread of other music cultures to happen. He states,
so you hear music from other cultures and you can enjoy it and not be judged or anything. And yeah, previous generations might not have done that.
We can now appreciate music from other cultures because our overall impression of cultures that are different to ours is more positive and accepting. This is just one minuscule aspect of a whole sphere of thinking regarding racism, but I know even notioning towards it can spark a long debate and discussion. However, to return back to the question, where is the music industry? While world music has and will continue to spread across the world, changing the idea of it being niche and alternative to our Western commercial music, there is still strong evidence to state that the music industry, in terms of its economy, is and will remain in the Western world, be it Europe or Northern America. This is simply because the music is travelling to these quarters to achieve success. As we began, the Western music economy is seen as a mecca, and until there is a new platform emerging in other economies that can compete and infiltrate our own, this will remain for the foreseeable future.